I'm Leonard Lopate. Welcome back to my show. Rosie Perez has been enchanting moviegoers ever since her 1989 acting debut in Spike Lee's summertime Brooklyn-based hit Do the Right Thing. Since then, Ms. Perez has been in a slew of movies, performed on and off Broadway, been a vigilant AIDS activist, a producer, a director, and through it all, she's talked proudly of her Brooklyn roots. So it is particularly fitting, I think, for Brooklyn to return the favor, which is happening this coming Thursday and Friday when BAM honors her with Born in Brooklyn, Rosie Perez. It is with great pleasure that I welcome the wonderful Rosie Perez back to my show. Hello.
Hello.
And Rosie, we Brooklynites have to stick together.
Yes, we do.
What part of Brooklyn do you come from?
Well, Williamsburg near Wallabout and Lee Avenue, and then Bushwick.
Now, I lived on Ross Street, right off of Lee, between Lee and Bedford, so I wasn't all that far away.
Oh, my goodness. Could have crossed paths long ago. And then Bushwick on Sudan, between Wyckoff and St. Nicholas.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever go back to the old neighborhoods?
All the time. I go back to, Wallabout, I don't know anyone there, but I pass through there quite often, coming home from the club late at night. But Bushwick, I go back there. I see old friends. I see old, family members. And for the documentary, we did a lot of filming over there as well.
We'll talk about the documentary in a little bit. But what's it like to be given a tribute like this while you're still so young?
Thank you for adding the young comment. I think that I'm so overwhelmed that I don't know how to express it. So I'm expressing it with hostility, and I don't understand it.
Really?
Yeah, because
you're resenting this?
No, it's not. It's not resentment. It's more like, going to the dog park in the morning and you're being honored at BAM. Yeah. Excuse me. it's too big right now, and it's like, coming from Brooklyn has prevented me from stepping into arenas that I know I wouldn't necessarily have the ability or the talent to do so, because the worst thing you can do is walk down your block and not get respect. And that aspect of growing up in Brooklyn has stayed with me, is still with me. So for Brooklyn, and specifically BAM, to honor me in this way is kind of like saying, you did good, kid. It's like, I feel like, all these invisible pats on my back as I walk down the street, and it's so much. Like, I feel shaky now. It's so much. It's too much to take in.
Well, maybe it's all because it's so unlikely, considering where you started, what you were doing. You want to be a marine biologist. We've talked about that in the past. Then you kind of fell into dancing and choreography, and then you fell into movies, and here you are now with around 20 movies and a lot of TV movies as well. Mm-hmm. And even more interesting, some of them very serious roles.
Yes.
Are people surprised by, when they look at the films you've been in, at the range?
Yeah.
Are you surprised?
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised about the range, but most people are surprised. What I'm surprised about is just that I'm actually doing them, that I've actually done them, I should say, that I'm in this business. Every day when I wake up, sometimes I go, oh my gosh, I'm in the entertainment business. This is so bizarre, because I still live in Brooklyn and I see 9-to-5ers, every time I go out to walk my dogs, and I sit there and I go, wow, I'm an actor, I'm a producer, I'm a director. This is incredible. So that's what's surprising to me.
Are there times when you ask yourself, what would it have been like if I had just continued on the marine biologist path?
All the time, especially like when I'm at home and I'm watching the Discovery Channel or Nova or something like that, and I start to fantasize about a life. I do. I can't help it. I fantasize about a life of being a scientist still.
And you know how many marine biologists are fantasizing about your life?
You think?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, God, all the time in hair and makeup. I don't know. But I don't know. But I still fantasize about that. And I still fantasize about being in the world of politics, because I also wanted to major in political science as well. I didn't, but sometimes I fantasize about that. I was just watching the Democratic debate on Sunday on Channel 2 with all the Democratic candidates for mayor. And, I have these fantasies that I either wish I was one of the New York Times reporters or actually one of the panelists myself. So it's very strange. I don't know why I do that, but I just don't think about entertainment all the time.
Well, but entertainment has been an entree into politics for any number of people. We have a governor of California who started off as an entertainer, and
yeah.
There have been any number of people in Congress. So it's still possible, Rosie.
Yes, it's a strong possibility. I just think that my personality and my code of ethics, I don't think I would do well as an actual candidate. I think that I would probably insult a lot of people by being too honest or too much of a stickler on certain issues.
You're not diplomatic enough.
I'm extremely diplomatic, but not in the realm of politics, if that makes sense. There's not a lot of room to be diplomatic in politics.
When BAM told you they wanted to do this tribute, which is taking place on Wednesday and Thursday, did they ask you what films you wanted to have included?
No, they did not.
Are there any films that you wish nobody would ever see again?
No.
Everything you've done you feel okay with?
No. But I have no fear in people seeing it. I have absolutely no fear in people seeing it. There are other choices that I wish they had included.
What films would you have included that aren't there?
Well, A Night on Earth, Jim Jarmusch's film. Mm-hmm. That one always gets lost in the sauce for some reason. Also, Somebody to Love by Alex Rockwell. Fearless.
So they're doing Do the Right Thing, White Man Can't Jump, It Could Happen to You, the ones that were the biggest films.
Yes.
Although Fearless was also a Hollywood film, wasn't it?
Fearless was a Hollywood film, but actually we were a box office failure. And it only lasted 3 weeks in the theaters. And then what happened was I got nominated, and it changed everything for that film, everything. But in Europe, it was a smash success. So while it was failing over in the United States, in Europe, we were touring on an insane tour, promo tour. So it wasn't really a big box office success. After the nomination, they wanted to put it out again, re-release it, and they say that the video sales still have a life.
I have the feeling that you're somebody who sees a challenge, mm-hmm. and never says no. So you've done all these things that that might have daunted other people. I mean, with very little experience, you wound up on In Living Color.
Yeah.
And that's a show that has that produced a lot of famous people, the Wayans family, Jim Carrey, a bunch of other people who we see a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any idea when you were there that you were involved in something that would launch so many careers?
No, I did not. I had,
and you had no sense that you'd ever be an actor at that point.
No, I was already an actor. I already had done Do the Right Thing and this film for HBO called Criminal Justice. But I had absolutely no idea of the phenomenal success and the array of celebrities that came from that. Nobody did it except the Wayans family. They kept telling us, this is incredible. This is dope. If y'all don't know, wake up. and it was kind of like that. But there was so much. The thing that appealed to me about that show was the freedom that Keenan allowed on the show, you know, and the hard work ethics that he also incorporated on the show. So that was extremely challenging. And in regards to your question, I don't always step up to every challenge that's presented to me, such as we had spoken in the past about, record companies offering me a recording contract. Me as a pop singer, I don't think so. Maybe a Broadway tune, yeah. But pop, no. But if I have the slightest feeling that I can possibly do something, I will jump in.
Well, you did Do the Right Thing, which had to be to some degree typecasting, although you've talked in the past about how that wasn't the ideal introduction to films. But then a lot of nice ones came along. Then you started doing more difficult roles. And then you appeared on stage. These are all accepting challenges that might have scared off other people. And then you produced a film. You've directed a film.
Mm-hmm.
So do you just keep on seeing challenges and then saying, okay, why not? Or are there, or did they all grow out of specific needs?
I think both. I think why not, and also that there, I have such need in myself to express so many different things and just to continue to express my creativity. And also, I think quite honestly, I think it's because I grew up during the hip-hop generation, the genesis of hip-hop. And hip-hop had such audacity to do something different and to do it in such a big way. And hip-hop also allowed you the sense of saying, move out of my way because what I have to offer is so incredible and so original. I'm dope. You're not. Okay, clear the dance floor. And I think that kind of feeling has stuck with me. And then also I was always a go-getter. Even when I was little, I was very introverted, but yet, you know, I would try whatever.
But you also talked about getting respect. Do you think that people misread you sometimes because they hear the accent and immediately pigeonhole you?
All the time. All the time. And it's something that used to anger me to the point of where I was ready to fight. And now it still angers me, but now it's different. Now I look at someone with such pity because I just see their stupidity or their shortcomings or their ignorance, and I kind of feel sorry for them.
But that also could have gotten you the same roles again and again in films. Did you have to fight against that?
I had to fight every single time. I still have to fight, believe it or not. A level of respect from Hollywood is coming my way. I think it changed once I started working with George C. Wolfe at the Public. All of a sudden, Hollywood just was like, oh, yeah, she could do something else. She's good. And, oh, you know, but prior to that, it was horrible.
But also in films like Fearless, it could happen to you. You were playing characters who could have been from any ethnic background, mm-hmm. any racial background.
Well, those are roles that I had to fight for. Those are roles that I had to fight to the point of tears for. And standing on a cow line, you know, a cattle call in Hollywood, and I've already had success such as Do the Right Thing and White Men Can't Jump, and I'm standing on line with girls I've never even seen on the big screen. Was quite humiliating, but I did it because I really wanted that role. I really wanted to show them that I had the ability. And Peter Weir was someone that was not from the United States, so did not have any access to my prior work, so he was just seeing me fresh. And for It Could Happen to You, Anthony Bregman, what's his name, the producer and writer. Oh, forgive me if he's listening, of It Could Happen to You. It was he was a New Yorker, so he existed in New York. So in his building, like we were talking prior off air, he saw a lot of different folks. So the prejudice was not there for him. So when I walked in there and had the initial meeting, he goes, I think you're hilarious. You're going to be great. I said, that's it? And he actually told me, he said, I just don't think that you could be mean enough. And I said, oh, honey, I can trust.
Have you ever turned down a project for political reasons?
I've turned down projects for political reasons. I've turned down projects for racial reasons. I mean, I guess that's the same as politics. I almost entered into a lawsuit with a major studio over a film that I just said, I cannot do this. They changed it in midway, and I said, this is extremely racist. I can't be a part of this.
So what happened when you saw someone else in that role?
Well, that particular film never saw the light of day. I helped kill that, and I'm very proud of it. It cost me a lot of money in the legal sense, you know. But I was really proud of every time they had someone else up for it, I would give them a call. Don't do this film. You do not want to embarrass yourself or us. Don't do it. But there have been other films that I've turned down, and I see other girls in them, and I don't judge them. They have their own shoes they got to go walking in. I don't know. But I also feel sad for them, you know, and I feel it's hard to judge because I know how hard the process is. And something my aunt always taught me when I was younger, everyone's not that strong.
And you've said that if you were to do a tribute yourself, it would be that aunt.
To my aunt.
Yeah.
Yes. My aunt was everything to me because she was good, bad, and ugly. You know, I mean, that woman was epitomized a flawed human being, which is what helped make her so great, because it allowed her so much room for humility and kindness and laughter in the face of just such despair. There was sometimes, you know, it was really hard.
So where do you go after you've directed, produced, starred, and then been given a tribute at the Brooklyn Academy of Music? Is this the end for Rosie Perez? Should she go into retirement now?
Oh, I hope not. My goodness. Oh, it would be such a loss to the world. No,
you know what? A caller suggests that you host a show on the Discovery Channel. That way, you can have the best of both both possible worlds.
Best of both worlds. Oh, that's actually a great idea, caller. Thank you. I didn't think of that. Hey, Rebecca, that's a great idea.
Your agent is calling tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, that would be wonderful. Oh, I would love that. I would love that. I never even thought of that. I'll give him a small percentage. No, I'm kidding. So,
meanwhile, you do voices in a number of animated films.
Yes, Nickelodeon. That's another thing that I would like to venture into. I would like to one day have my own animated show. For children or adults, but specifically for children. I get such a kick out of it. When I'm in the studio, I do 8 episodes in a matter of 2 hours. It's just fun. It's fun for me, and I love kids, and I do well with children. So and I understand how they think, because I'm still, like, childlike in a lot of ways.
And there's another film called All the Invisible Children that is going to come out this year?
Yes, that was directed also by Spike Lee.
Uh-huh.
And written by his...
So you made it up with Spike?
I made it up with Spike a long time ago. It just was never publicized.
That's good.
No one gave him the memo. But we're cool. And it was a very strange experience stepping on a set with him after all these years. But it was good.
And tell us about the documentary, because I said we'd get to it.
Well, the documentary will come out in June 2006 on IFC, and it's me and Liz Garbus, Moxie Firecracker Film, and my production, Ten in the Car Productions.
Liz Garbus has done a lot of documentaries. What's this about?
This is about how the political relationship between the United States and Puerto Rico and how it affected the culture. And with all the ups and downs that Puerto Rican people had to go through, they still maintained a stronghold on their culture, although it has changed.
And there's still the issue of whether Puerto Rico should be a state, a territory, whatever. Mm-hmm. Are you happy with the situation, the current situation?
I'm not happy with the current situation, but I also feel that the people who live there are the ones that need to fight that fight, because they do live there. And the last time they voted on statehood, the majority of vote was for none of the above. They did not want. They didn't choose any category. So it's been left continually up in the air.
Can you explain the title? Yo soy Boricua.
Yo soy Boricua, pa que tú lo sepa, which means I am a Boricua, just so you know. It's very snide.
Rosie Perez is being honored at the Brooklyn Academy of Music this Wednesday and Thursday with some of her more famous films. It has been my great pleasure to talk to her again on this show.
Thank you, and thanks for always having me back. I appreciate it.